today padded practice?
Padded practice. We're going to work indoors today, but it's a full Thursday. So most important practice of the week.
Well, how did Aaron look in his first practice back after being medically cleared?
Aaron looked good. You know, once again, he's been practicing, so he looks like himself. I thought he had a good day.
How can you simulate pass rush at practice? Is that something you can really do during a practice setting?
Yes, we have padded practice. It's team periods are competitive. You know, we have a pass under pressure segment that we do without pads. That's Wednesday. So I'm sure, but the quarterback.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, he's, you know, it's not live, but it's as close as you can probably get to it.
Is that a big step for him, do you think, with as far as, you know, the 2 months off part of it goes?
Well, I mean, he's had a chance to do it the last, you know, 2 weeks, so he looks comfortable.
What have you seen in Julius's game this year, and how much of that do you think is the position switch going back to what he used to play?
I think he still plays the same position. I mean, he played more from a two-point stance. You know, he's playing primarily in a three-point, but he played three-point passing situations here. So I think he's playing excellent. I think he's playing as good as I can recall the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. So, and like anything, he's in sync with his teammates, and they're doing a heck of a job as a defensive front. I mean, you look at the sack numbers, but if you see the discipline in the rush lanes, as far as the not only off the edge, but the, you know, the push inside, you know, the one that gets the defensive lineman that gets the one-on-one, they're getting a lot of production out of that. So, but yeah, Julius is playing at an extremely high level.
Mike, how much work was Nick Perry able to do yesterday? And if you can get him back the way Clay's playing right now, what kind of combination do you have?
I mean, Nick has been more probably in a, you know, trial return. He'll do a little bit today. And in the padded work, I'll work through some of the team periods, but I mean, he'll be on a rep count. But yes, I mean, we're different when Clay and Nick are on there on the field at the same time.
If I can go back to Julius, what stands out to you most about his 3 years here? What
Julius Peppers?
Yeah.
I mean, excellent player, extremely professional. You know, it's like anything, when you have an opportunity to work with an established veteran in this league, you know, he brings a reputation with him. You have an opportunity to compete against him, as we did prior to his arrival in Chicago. So you're really familiar with him as a player, what he's capable of doing on the field. But, you know, just really enjoyed him as a person. He's, you know, everybody talked about how quiet he was and so forth. But, you know, we got to see another side of him. He was commanded a huge presence in our locker room. Did a great job from a leadership standpoint. And, you know, one of my favorite memories of Julius is, you know, we have a pregame ritual where the captain, we have three captains for each and every game, and one of the captains is selected to speak to the team the last 2 minutes before we take the field, and we're playing a Monday night game here, and so it was Julius's turn to speak, and so he started going through his 2 minute talk. And he was on a roll, big time roll. And Matt Klein taps me, and he's like, you know, we're out of time. And I said, oh, Lee, don't worry about it. He's on a roll here. Let him go. And it was one of the funniest things ever. Is as we broke from the, you know, we broke as a team. We come down the lock, you know, come down the aisle, down the hall here, and out the tunnel, and you can see the TV people were going. I mean, we missed the introductions, so we had to run onto the field, and I thought that was classic. So, you know, those are the things you don't hear about, but. You know, he was a great teammate, and you look forward to competing against him.
Mike, you don't come across a lot of quarterbacks with the size speed combination that Cam Newton has. What do you have to do to defend a guy like that?
Yeah, Cam's unique. There's no doubt about it. I mean, just his ability to, you know, play, you know, not only as a runner, but all the action. With these two running backs, he presents a big challenger because. You know, obviously all three of those guys can haul the ball, and you just look at, you know, the number of carries that he has and the production that he has. So, and then, you know, the throws. I mean, he can throw it. He can make any throw, you know, ability to go deep. And so it's a very challenging offense. You know, they do a lot of personnel groups, you know, a lot of formations, a lot of variations. So dynamic player.
Hey, Mike, I know Keekly's a big part of the equation, but when you look at their run defense, what really stands out, you know, as far as the success they've had this season?
Run defense, I'd say discipline. You know, they're schematically, you know, they're schematically challenging. Their volume's high, a lot of fronts. But Keekly is, you know, he's definitely the quarterback. You can see he's into your keys and he's focused on your mannerisms and, you know, reading splits and all the above. So great anticipator. You can see a lot of pre-snap communication. And it really speaks to the experience. I mean, the one thing about their defense, and you know, it's like anything, you don't really, really realize until you get into it, like Monday night and Tuesday morning, is you know, a lot of these guys. Last time we played them, they're still playing, so they have great cohesiveness. You can see it in their communication, just really the way they fit, you know, the way they fit their gaps, where they rush, you know, their discipline in the rush lanes, and just the way the linebackers play off one another. You won't see a linebacker group play as close to the line as these guys, and that speaks to, you know, obviously to what they're trying to do schematically and what they believe in. But, you know, the play that way, there's great confidence and discipline in the fit with the linebacker group to the defensive line. So this is an excellent group.
How do you prepare for a guy like Greg Olsen, who hasn't done much this year, but obviously he's got a tremendous history?
Definitely. Tremendous history. I'm going to go all the way back to his time in Chicago and in the games we played against him in Carolina. So they do a great job with tight ends. You know, Pete Hayner's a tight end coach. Know him personally. He does a tremendous job. It's a good group. So big part of how they operate. You know, obviously we want to talk about the receivers, but their tight end group can really stretch in with the multiple personnel groups, you know, the different formations. They do a good job getting those guys open.
You must have to go back to like last year, see
yeah, definitely. I mean, everybody in this league has a history, and you know, just with the resources of video, I mean, it's not hard to pull up, you know, somebody's reps, you know, with the play time reports and the video added to it.
Mike, what do you think of the way David Bakhtiari has played since he's been back? Pretty consistently there.
David Bakhtiari is having a heck of a year. You can see we missed him when he was gone. He's our left tackle. I mean, that says a lot. I mean, we feed off of that. You know, when you talk about the system offense is built around making a quarterback successful, when you get into pass protection, you know, that left tackle is such a primary, you know, important part of how we go about things. So the ability to put him on a matchup, and he's got a huge matchup this week. So the ability to put him on a matchup and have him to be, you know, have him successful gives us the flexibility to maybe help somewhere else.
Mike, do you think the biggest area you've evolved on offense is just the running game since Aaron went out?
Production?
Yeah, or just how much you've evolved into what you're doing now versus what you were doing in week 5 or 6?
I agree with that, Tom. I think it not only just in production, but I think you've seen us, we're getting through all of our concepts more. You know, we're not just sticking to, you know, primarily an inside zone or outside zone focus. We're able to get more into our pattern schemes, and we're a better offense when we're able to do that. So it stresses the defense, but I think it shows you the confidence when you're jumping out of zone schemes into pattern schemes. You know, the ability to down block one on one, angle pull, and win those matchups and create the creases, and then take it to the next step is the backs have the vision, anticipation, and instincts to evolve, jump in and out of an inside zone, outside zone, into pattern schemes too. So, you know, I think our young running backs have done a very good job playing and being productive in a multiple scheme run game.
When you're a passing team like you were before Aaron got hurt, can you incorporate that? Can those things mesh together?
Oh, definitely. No, I mean, it's, you know, it, once again, how they – challenge us has a lot to do with, you know, how the ball distribution ends up, you know, at the end of the day. But yeah, the best thing a quarterback, Aaron Rodgers included, any quarterback is a healthy run game, and we've been able to diversify with our run game. It's a real credit to our run blocking unit and our running backs. So yeah, we need to continue to build off of that.
Mike, what do you think the impact is? Because we know Aaron has a lot of options at the line of scrimmage, run pass, mm-hmm. things like that. But your run game, as you just mentioned, is different since he's played. How does that affect his decision-making, and will there be some adjustment for him to trust the run option versus the pass option because the guys are doing it differently and better than they were when he got hurt?
Well, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's really about the best play available. And, you know, and that's what the planning and the preparation process is for. I mean, if we're not trusting plays, you know, on Sundays, then what the hell is the play doing in the game plan? So, you know, I mean, that's not a real practical approach. I mean, sometimes they change on what they're doing to us, and, you know, then you have to adjust accordingly. Yeah, but as far as, you know, run pass options, you know, this offense, you know, from the day I've coordinated, you know, since 2000, has always been built around making the quarterback successful. And with that, you got to give them at the line of responsibility. Now, we've evolved to a different level. I mean, Brett Hundley had four or five checks in the last game. So, I mean, obviously there's more available to Aaron because of his experience. But, yes, I mean, that's the way we train. That's the way we play. And you have to live with some of those decisions because you can't give the guy the ball and then put it, you know, and put a chokehold on him. I mean, that's not the way we play. He trusts the run option or the pass option. I mean, it's really based on, you know, how they line up and how we think they're gonna, you know, react. Because I mean, hey, let's be honest. These defenses in today's game are holding disguises all the way to the snap of the ball. The level of disguise in our league is, I mean, it's the best I've ever seen in my 20 plus years in the league.
Like, you guys have given Jamal Williams a lot of responsibility. Why has he been able to handle it, do you think?
Well, great coaching, number one. No, I mean, Jamal, you know, I go back to the spring. I mean, he kind of jumped to the front of the line, you know, of the young guys. You know, Ty Montgomery was a starter, but he clearly, it came, you know, a little more natural to him. And the goal, frankly, is always to see who can be the three down player, because you know, you want three down running backs in there, because, you know, if you have to start substituting people based on down and distance, obviously the tendency is heavy to the defense. They can call their defense is just based on who the running back is in the game. So, you know, his ability to play on all three downs was, I mean, he was clearly ahead of, you know, Devontae and Aaron. So, but, you know, the second part is he's been given opportunities, and, you know, like all running backs, you get to carry the ball 15, 20 times a game. I mean, there's a reason for it. It means you're being productive, and when you're productive, you're only going to get better with the more touches you have. So, you know, I'm just really impressed. I mean, all those guys can run the football. They're instinctive. They're aware. They understand it. They're anticipating, you know, seams and cuts, you know, before the hole even opens. I mean, that play, you know, that tells you these guys are running the football a long time. You know, they came out of the womb running the ball. But the pass protection and the ability, what Jamal did in the pass game last week with the checkdowns, and, you know, he took a step in recognition of pressure and things like that. So he's gotten better, and it's the progress you look for in all your young guys. But he's done a heck of a job.
Two more, please. Mike, did you give any consideration to dancing with him after that touchdown?
Yeah, I wasn't ready yet. I just, you know, just a little self conscious out there in front of 50,000 people, I guess. No, I wasn't going to dance with him. I got an extra point to worry about, you know. So I got to look for flags. So I got things to do.
You expect Josh Jones back today?
Yes. Yes, he'll be back.